So the question we begin with on this week's Haftarah is, why is it that the Pasuk tells us that David had accumulated so much gold and silver and various utensils, Shlomo did not use those treasures for the actual construction of the Mishkan, but rather he kind of stores it away in the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash? And Rashi is bothered by this question. Rashi cites, well, perhaps Shlomo had foreseen that the Mikdash would be destroyed, and he didn't want the non-Jews who were to then destroy the Mikdash to claim that, well, our God took revenge because the Mikdash was built with the stolen spoils that King David took from us in battle. Shlomo didn't want to give anybody any excuses, any reasons to think that they were to have the upper hand ultimately because of the spoils that were taken from them to build the Mikdash. So therefore he kept the spoils that David took from war and put them in the treasury. He didn't use it in the construction of the Mikdash. Yet what the Ralbag, however, suggests is slightly different. The Ralbag says that we know, and we'll soon see this later on as well, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want David to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Because David, and again we'll see this soon, had fought many battles, he had killed many people in battle, and God didn't want the Mikdash to be built by somebody who had blood on his hands, albeit for a valid, justifiable, and good reason, but God did not want the Mikdash to be built by such an individual. So perhaps, says the Ralbag, that's why Shlomo also did not want to use the spoils that David took from war to build the Beis HaMikdash either. Along the same lines, says Ralbag, Shlomo was an Ish Shalom, a man of peace, and he only wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash with that which was collected in a peaceful manner, voluntary donations that were given by Bnei Yisrael. He didn't want to build the Mikdash with the spoils of war. So suggests the Ralbag. And the Sefer Mishpatos Zahav actually, along those lines, cites the following interesting Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, in explaining what's pshat in the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Shoftim, that Shevet Levi does not have any entitlement to share in the spoils that Klal Yisrael takes in battle when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? The Pasuk says that the Kohanim and the Levim don't get any inheritance in the land. They don't get any, says Sefer HaChinuch, chelek in the biza, a share of the spoils. So here the Sefer HaChinuch writes as follows. He says, you know why not? So first he quotes the Pasuk, the mitzvah. He says, Shelo yitol kol Shevet Levi chelek bebiza b'mashas shalalu Yisrael. Shevet Levi is prohibited from taking any share in the spoils that were be won in battle from the enemies of the Jews when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Why? So in the second paragraph he writes, U'mishrasha ha-mitzvah. Here's the reason behind it. Because Shevet Levi are the servants of God. They are the Mesharsei Hashem. Lo na Elohim, it's not appropriate for them, the Mesharsei Hashem, to use spoils that were taken by force from people. Interesting. What do you mean? It's in battle, it's in war. It was the Milchemes Mitzvah. I was supposed to engage in this battle. God wanted this war. Nonetheless, in the Beis Hashem, it's not appropriate to use that which was taken by force. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, and he echoes the Ralbag with this theme. La Yavo Beis Hashem, a house of God, a house of Avodas Hashem, cannot be brought about Rak Davar Haba, Derech Shalom, V'yosher V'emuna. Fascinating. That which is used to bring about the construction of the Beis Hashem must only be that which came about through peaceful measures. Not just peace, but Yosher V'emuna. Yosher, Ehrlichkeit, honesty. Didn't come about through any devious sort of means. No fraudulent means of obtaining those funds. The emuna and faith. Only on that basis may one build a Beis Hashem. Fascinating, fascinating idea. That when one wants to create and construct the foundation for that Beis Hashem, and perhaps it's not just a Mikdash, but a Makam Torah, Makam Tefillah, It has to be built on a foundation of that which is attained through shalom, through yashrus and amuna. A fascinating idea which Sefer Chinuch sees in these psukim, and Rabak sees it in the Haftarah. Sefer Chinuch sees it in the pasuk in Chumash that forbids Shevet Levi from taking a chelik in the spoils of war, because they are the Meshorsei Hashem. And here the Rabak sees it in the psukim in the Navi, that when it comes to building the Beis Hashem, the same idea applies. You can only build the Beis Hashem, and you can only be a Meshores Hashem in the Beis Hashem with that which comes as a result of Shalom and Yashrus and Amunah. Let's move on now, and just a quick survey of the psukim, and maybe I'll just pull up the actual psukim here before we come back to the source sheet. We'll take a look in the psukim, one moment. I have to just find the actual psukim. Okay. Are those on Zoom seeing the psukim from Sefer Malachim? Yes. Okay. Thank you. The bar line, the whole parak you're seeing here. Okay. So the psukim then continue to describe, and we'll just a quick overview before we get to our next point. The psukim describe how Oz Yakel Shlomo, now beginning Perek Ches in Malachim Aleph, Shlomo then gathers together. And if you recall, we mentioned this past Shabbos in Shul, why the word Vayakel Moshe, the word Vayakel, is not a common word in Chumash. And we mentioned that when Moshe sought to bring Klal Yisrael together to speak about the Binyan HaMishkan, to bring about Hashras HaShchina, you need a sense of Kehila. And therefore the Pasuk said, Vayakhel Moshe. So here as well, the same word is used, Az Yakhel Shlomo. Yet again, and here talking about the Mikdash, not the Mishkan, but the Mikdash. Again, when you're working on beginning that which will serve as a Hashras HaShchina for Klal Yisrael, you need a sense of Kehila, Az Yakhel Shlomo. Shlomo assembles together the elders, the heads of the Shvatim, the princes. He takes them all to Yerushalayim. They prepare to bring the Aron Bris Hashem from Ir David into the Beis HaMikdash. And again, the Navi describes, the Pasuk Beis, they assembled all together to the King Shlomo. Every man of Israel gets together in the seventh month, on Sukkos, the month of Tishrei, on Sukkos. All the Ziknei shall come, and note here, Pasuk Gimel. And this is now on the source sheet as well. Vayavo kol ziknei Yisrael, all the elders of Israel come. Vayisu ha-kohanim es ha-aron. The kohanim carry the aron. And the pasuk Dalid, they bring the aron Hashem and the olamoid and the holy utensils, the klei ha-kodesh. The kohanim halavim bring those items to the Beis HaMikdash. Now this is a point of interest. A famous, interesting ha'ara, because who would you expect to be the ones to carry the aron? Think back to Chumash. The Navi, the Pasuk in Chumash describes there were assignments whenever they would travel in the Midbar. It was Shevet Levi that were the ones who transported the Mishkan, the Kalim, the aron. It was the Levim who transported the aron and the Kleha Mishkan. And yet here in the Navi, when they are transporting the Aron to the Beis HaMikdash for the first time, the Pasuk specifically says it was the Kohanim who carried the Aron to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ralbag is troubled by this as well. And the Ralbag says, well, even though, says Ralbag, the carrying of the Aron was part of the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, which you would expect the Levim to be the ones who had that responsibility. Only here, says Rabag, the Levim couldn't do it. Why? So Rabag suggests because they're about to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the place that only the Kohen Gadol, only Yom Kippur was allowed to enter. That was it. Nobody else ever. So they couldn't allow the Levim to bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And granted, the Rabag says that, yes, even Kohanim can't ordinarily enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but at the very least, if someone has to go in there, it should be Kohanim, not Levim. That's the Rabag's interpretation. On the other hand, and this is a remarkable and famous opinion of the Rambam says that
even though in Chumash we are told that the Levim carried the Aron. The Rambam says that's because in the Midbar, how many Kohanim were there? When they left Mitzrayim after Kabbalah Satorah, at the time of Binyan HaMishkan, how many Kohanim were there altogether? There was Aaron HaKohen. He had four sons, two of whom died upon the initiation of the and the consecration of the Mishkan. So it's Aaron and his two sons, Elos and Itamar. They couldn't carry everything, so there was no choice. They had to have the Levim carry the Kalim of the Mishkan and the Aaron because there was not enough Kohanim at the time to do so themselves. But Ledoros, says the Rambam, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, generation later, 40 years later, and now it's far longer than that because now it's already 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's already now the times of Shlomo HaMelech. This is many, 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 many decades later. At this point, says the Rambam, the real mitzvah was for the Kohanim to carry the Aron. So a fascinating machlokas Yishonim. The Ramban actually sides with the Ralbag that no, it was the Levim who had to carry the Kalim all the time, and this was an exception because they were bringing the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the Rambam says, no, the Midbar was the exception. There weren't enough Kohanim to do the job. The Levim had to do it then. But the real mitzvah, forevermore, says the Rambam, is for the Kohanim to carry it. And the Gemara itself highlights this, if you will, out of the ordinary or unexpected mention of Kohanim here. The Gemara in Sota says that we find three times that the Kohanim carried the Aron. Once when they were crossing the Yarden, the Kohanim carried the Aron into the Yarden, and the water stopped flowing, and the Jews crossed across the Yarden. Once when they walked around Jericho, the walls of Jericho, seven times, before the walls collapsed, and they stormed into Jericho. And once when they brought the Aron back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That says the Gemara in Sota, were the three times we find the Kohanim carried the Aron. So according to Ramban and Ralbag, those were the three exceptions. According to the Rambam, no, those are actually what was going to be forevermore, that the Kohanim were the ones who really were supposed to carry the Aron. So that's a fascinating and famous machlokas as to who really are the ones to carry the Aron going forward, if you will, after the Jews entered into Eretz Yisrael. Now moving ahead in the Psukim in the Haftorah here, the Navi describes in Pasuk Hey and in Pasuk Vav, Shlomo and all of Klal Yisrael are there before the Aron as they're carrying it. They're shechting karbanos, numerous karbanos. The Kohanim bring the Aron to the Kodesh HaKadoshim under the wings of the Kruvim. And the Pasuk then describes Pasuk Zion, the Kruvim had their wings outstretched over the place where the Aron was placed. And actually, it's important to note that the Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made were different than the Kruvim in the Mishkan. The Kruvim in the Mishkan made by Bezalel were on the cover of the Aron. They were on the Kaporis itself. Whereas the Kruvim made by Shlomo were on the ground, standing on the ground with their wings over the Aron. And the Pasuk describes how the poles of the Aron were extended outward toward the Peroches. They jutted into the Peroches. Then Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes, the Navi emphasizes, Ein ba'aron rak shnei luchos ha'avanim. There was nothing in the Aron but the two stone tablets that Moshe placed there at Har Sinai when they left Mitzrayim. And the Gemara B'Fabasha Daf Yudalid cites a machlokes tanoim about how to understand and interpret the words Ein ba'aron rak. There was nothing in the Aron, only this. And the Gemara understands that to mean that there actually was something else in the Aron besides just the Shnei Luchos Avanim. And the Malbim cites the Machlokes Tanoim in the Gemara of Abbasra on Daf Yudalid. One opinion is that, as we mentioned this past Shabbos, in the Aron, aside from the Shnei Luchos Avanim, were the Shivrei Luchos as well. The broken, shattered Luchos that were the first Luchos that were brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu. Those were also in the Aron, according to one opinion, the Gemara of Abbasra, Daf Yudalid, which the Malbim cites over here. Now the Radak disagrees, or Radak says that no, that the broken, shattered first luchos were not in the Aron itself. They were really just perhaps in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara, according to one interpretation, actually assumes that in the Aron itself were the shattered first luchos alongside the second luchos. And as we suggested on Shabbos, perhaps that's because the shattered first luchos symbolize and represent the sudden spiritual inspiration that overcame Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai when they were zochet to Matan Torah and Gilui Shechina. They were zochet to the sudden, incredible ruchnius inspiration. But the luchos were shattered because they couldn't retain that inspiration. They went so quickly from such a high madrega to the very, very bottom with the Egel Hazav when they thought Moshe was not returning. They were at the pinnacle of their ruchnius aspirations as represented by the initial giving of the first luchos that were made by God himself. And then the luchos being shattered represented their sudden fall to the very bottom with the transgression of the Egel Hazav. Whereas the second luchos represents Moshe's own hard work, carving out the stone tablets one at a time, letter by letter. He put the work in himself. And those luchos lasted. Because although sometimes inspiration is so critical, but so often it doesn't last on its own. It's the hard work, the consistency that we put into our Avodas Hashem that then lasts longer term. And in the Aron, we suggest you had both. You had the broken luchos representing the importance of that sudden surge of spiritual inspiration in one's Avodas Hashem. We had also the second luchos, the luchos that remained whole, because those were luchos that were carved out by Moshe letter by letter, laboriously, painstaking labor, one after another. And that's what lasts long term in one's Avodas Hashem, the hard work that one puts into Avodas Hashem to retaining the inspiration and maintaining it. That's how one succeeds in slow, steady growth in Avodas Hashem. And that's this pasuk test, Ein Ba'aron Rak Shnei Luchos Avanim. And then the pasuk describes, pasuk Yud Aleph, there was the cloud of glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled the Beis Hashem. The Kohanim couldn't even do the Avodah there because they were so overwhelmed by the Kvod Hashem that filled the Beis HaMikdash. Then in Pasuk Yibbeis, Pasuk Yigimel, a very interesting comment. Shlomo then says, Hashem Amar Lishkon Ba'arafel. God had always intended that his Shechina should dwell here. Now, Ba'arafel means in the dark. In the dark, implying, Mefarshim explain, that long before there was a Beis HaMikdash here, God had already designated this spot as the spot where his Shechina would rest. Now, Rafel means the cloud, the dark cloud, and this represents the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu had always wanted the Shechina to be here. Malbim explains that Har HaMoria, where the Mikdash was ultimately built, was always a special place of Hashras HaShechina. After all, that's where the Akedah was, says the Malbim. So we know already that this was always designated as a special spot. After all, that's where Yaakov had his dream of the Sulam and the Malachim ascending heavenward. Also Har HaMoria. This was always designated as a special spot for Shechina. So Malbim understands the Pasuk when it speaks of Lishkon Ba'arafel, that God had always intended to dwell with his Shechina on this spot, even when there was nothing there. Nothing there yet. Just an open field, a mountain, nothing there. But now, says Shlomo, Bano Banisi, Beis Zvulach, Mechon L'Shiftecha Olamim. But now I've built a dwelling place for you, says Shlomo Melech, forever and ever. Forever. And this, Rav Gamliel Ben Avitz points out, is the reason why the Shechina is still there today. Kol Shlomo Rav is all we have left that stands on Har HaBayis. But the Shechina is still there because Mechon L'Shiftecha Olamim. Once the Shechina was there, it stayed forever. Stayed forever. And Malbim quotes a beautiful mashal. He says, imagine you have a melech who has a wonderful, beautiful spot right by the seashore. He loves it. He loves this special spot where he just enjoys staying for vacation. But there's no real nice palace there. And then comes along one of his closest friends and builds the beautiful, beautiful palace right there on that sea, on the seashore there. And the Malbim says that how much more so will the Melech enjoy this spot now once it's been so enhanced so beautifully by his dearest, closest friend. So The Malbim says, the same is true here. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his Shechina on Har HaMoriah, before there was anything there, and that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to put his Shechina, so Shlomo was confident that now, having built a beautiful Beis HaMikdash, he's enhanced it, so to speak, he's built the palace on the seashore. He was confident that, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina will stay here forever, because how much more so now that it's so enhanced, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stay here long term, because I've built a Beis Zevul Lach. I've built a residence for you here now. So of course the Shechina will be inclined, so to speak, to stay here forevermore. Mechon l'shivtecha olamim. And then we read here in Pasuk Yudalid, Shlomo turns his face to bless Klal Yisrael while Klal Yisrael is standing. Now we don't know what the bracha is. The bracha is not mentioned just yet. But he faces Klal Yisrael to give them a bracha. And the Mefarshim Rishonim point out, much like Birchas Kohanim, you face someone when giving a bracha, face to face. So Shlomo faces Bnei Yisrael to give them a bracha, and then after he blesses Klal Yisrael, in Pasuk Tezvav, he then blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Baruch Hashem Elkei Yisrael, Asher Diber, Defiv, Eis David Avi, Uveyodom Mile Leimor. God spoke to David, and God informed David as follows, and he fulfilled the promise that he gave David, says Rashi. Fulfilled his promise to David. What was the promise? So God says, Shlomo says, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, like saying what God conveyed to David, that from the day I took Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt, I chose no other city to build my home there, says God, until I built Yerushalayim, obviously, chose Yerushalayim, and I chose David to be the one in charge of Am Yisrael. So these two components are critical. The selection of Yerushalayim and the selection of Klal Yisrael, of David as Melech Yisrael. And then Shlomo says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayihi im levav David Avi, that it was in my father's heart. An interesting phrase. It was in my father's heart, meaning David had an intense yearning to build that bias for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was in David's heart. He had that intense yearning. And what happened? And Hashem tells David, sorry, David, you can't build the Mikdash. That we know. We'll soon see why that is. But Hashem says as follows. Since you wanted to build the Mikdash for me, that's a good thing, says God. Hetivosa ki hayam levavecha. That was a very wonderful thing that you had such an intense desire to build the Beis HaMikdash for me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David. But nonetheless, Pasuk Yates, you will not build it, your son will build it. And then Shlomo says, and God fulfilled his promise, and I, as a result, stepped into David's place, my father David's place. I sat on the throne of Israel as God promised, and I built the house, the Mikdash, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I placed the Aron there, says Shlomo, with the Bris Hashem, that was the covenant made with Klal Yisrael when we came out of Mitzrayim. Now what Shlomo doesn't specify here is why, we know why, but why did God not allow David to build the Mikdash? And this is found in the Psukim in Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim, Aleph Chaf Beis, bottom of the handout, here we find added elaboration. And here, the Psukim tell us that David called Shlomo and instructed Shlomo to build the Bayis LaHashem. And David tells Shlomo, just as we saw in Malachim a moment ago, David tells Shlomo in Divrei Hayamim, Ani hayaim levavi. I wanted. It was in my heart. I wanted. I was yearning. I was so desperately trying to build the bayis l'shem Hashem. But the last pasuk on the source sheet, vayhi alai devar Hashem lemor. God spoke to me saying, "No, dam larov shafachta. You spilled blood." Right? David was a warrior who waged and fought and won battles. Umuchamos gedolos asisa, and you waged many great battles. Lo sivna bayis l'shmi, you cannot build the home for me, says God to David. Ki damim rabim shafachta arz lefanai. You spilled a lot of blood before me. Rather, I'll just read this last pasuk here. Pasuk Tess in Devarim says, Hinei bein nolad lach, you'll have a son. He will be an ish menucha, a man of tranquility. I will give him peace from all his enemies. Kishlomo yihya shmo, his name will be Shlomo. V'shalom v'sheket attain al Yisrael b'yamav, and during his lifetime, there will be calmness, peace, tranquility for Klal Yisrael. So here we have the reason, which is not explicitly mentioned in our Haftarah, why David was not allowed to build the Mikdash, because damim rabim shafachta aretz lefanai, you spilled much blood before me. Which Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz explains, the Sfarim teach us, is because Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Mikdash to be built on chesed, not on din. Now there's a place for din. Of course there's a place for din. David had to wage those battles. He was critical. He saved Klal Yisrael from Goliath and waged many other battles that he was allowed to and had every right to wage. But even so, he represented Midas Hadin because he had that fierceness to him, that damim rabim shafachta. And the Mikdash HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to be built on din. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be built on chesed, and therefore only Shlomo, who was an ish menucha, was able to build it, not David. But says Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, it's a beautiful musar, and this is as follows. Notice how the psukim describe David so desperately wanted to build a mikdash. So, for example, back in our haftarah, what were the words that were used? The words used were "Vayihi im levav David avi." It was in his heart, like he was desperate to build the mikdash. L'shem Hashem for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David, Yan asher hayam levavcha, because you so much wanted it, therefore, although you can't, but your son will. What's the musar? What's the message? Says Rav Gamliel beautifully as follows. So often, in our own avodas Hashem, we want to do something so desperately. The right thing. We want to so desperately be zochet to do something in our avodas Hashem for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes, despite our best efforts and our intense yearning, we're unable to, for whatever the reason. But what this message here is for us is the following. It's the yearning that I have. It's the intense desire that I have, that even if I am not zocha myself to fulfill it, but it has an impact. And if not me, my son, my grandson, it will be manifest. It will have an impact on generations to come. Much like David, Hayaim Livavi, he wanted so desperately to build the Mikdash. It wasn't his fault. Dam Rabim Shafachta, you spilled blood. He had to spill the blood. It's not his fault. But it was the desire that he had to build the Mikdash, as the Pasuk says, Yana Shahayam Livavcha, because you wanted to so desperately. Hativosa Kiyam Livavcha, that's good. And therefore, Bincha Yotze Mechal Tzecha, who Yivin Habayis Lashmi, your son will have this chus to do it. Sometimes we have such an intense desire to do the right thing in Avodas Hashem, and for reasons beyond our control, we can't. But that intense ratzon will see fruit in future generations. It will be manifest in future generations. Imagine someone who so desperately loves to learn and wants to learn, but he can't. Parnasa is such a burden on him, and he's so much time is spent working to earn a living, he just doesn't have as much time for him as he would love to. But if he has that ratzon, and that ratzon is expressed that whenever he can, he does, so his children will see that ratzon, that avas haTorah, and that will certainly burn in their hearts as well. Someone who has a love for tefillah, a love for davening, even if at times, for whatever reason, he's unable to daven in Bitsibur with a minion, for whatever reason, beyond his control, but if he has that ava, that yearning for it, his children will see it. That ratzon will be manifest, and the results will be seen in his future descendants as well. That, says Rav Gamliel, is the beautiful message and musar from this story with David and Shlomo, that Hayam Levavacha, to build the Beis Hashem, you couldn't, but Shlomo Bincha, the Ish Menucha, he'll be Zocha to build it. Shall be Zocha to have the yearning to do mitzvos, to be Olam Alam Alam Avodas Hashem. We should be Zocha to see the fruits of those teshukos and those wonderful ritzonos, both in ourselves and in our families as well. Okay, thank you everyone once again.